Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Hope you are feeling good. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 9. Gospel of John. Verse 1 through 12. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Let's pray this morning. Father, we just pray for a revelation of your word. We pray for your Holy Spirit to give us understanding. God, open our hearts so that we may receive, God, just your heart today. God, thank you for this morning. We want to give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here's the story of a man who was born blind, and there's a lot of confusion in what's going on. The disciples are asking Jesus, what's the problem here? And so I just want to focus sort of on that story. And just as you imagine sort of the situation, as you imagine the family, you can imagine sort of just the difficult life that they live. Throughout his whole life, he grew up blind, not being able to see his mother ever smile, never seeing the beauty of a sunset. And we can identify with this family and this man to some degree. And we struggle in our lives, and we have heartaches and different hassles. But the one thing that we need to realize through Scripture is that all of these things point in one direction. All of our pain, all of our struggles, all of our difficulties, all of our hassles point in one direction. And that direction is so that the glory of God is revealed. And so whatever you're going through, you've got to know that you're going through this process of struggle and suffering and stress and difficulties because it's pointing in one direction. It's so that the glory of God would be revealed. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Trust in me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." Trust in me in your times of trouble. I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Once again, this theme of our trials and our difficulties and our problems, if we would trust God, in the end, the result would give God glory. And so this man is born blind, a whole lifetime of darkness, and the disciples are asking, "Who did this? Like, who did this?" And I don't know if you caught the humor in verse 2. It says, "Who sinned? This man?" No, that doesn't make any. I mean, he was born blind, so like he had to sin before he was born, and maybe you didn't catch that, but it's like that makes no sense. Like, who sinned? Did this man sin? No, he was born blind. It's like, well, he didn't exist. So, but anyways, does that mean he sinned in the womb? Like, it's just crazy. Anyways, this man or his parents? So obviously the answer is maybe his parents. And as you might know that in this culture, whenever there was a person with some physical handicap or disability or something like that, blindness or couldn't walk or things like that, it was always assumed that it was a generational thing, that it was because of his parents. The consequences was the children was in that situation. And so that's why they asked that question. Somebody sinned. The reason why, he's in this position, disabled, can't see, is somebody sinned. That was the understanding in the culture of the day. And Jesus came to make it very clear, no, it's not a sin issue. I think a lot of times we take on that sort of thinking also. You know, that maybe, you know, there's something, you're going through a sickness or an illness, and it's like, oh, you know, maybe I'm the reason, or I'm the cause, or I'm the sinner, or I caused this to happen to myself or to my children or something like that. And Jesus wants to make it clear that that's not the case. Definitely not this situation. And it's probably the case in your situation, that's no one's fault. And then he says this, it's neither that this man's sin nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So the works of God might be displayed in him. Chances are that this man probably preferred a different role in life. Compared to other people, he was assigned a role in life that was probably not very glamorous. And I can imagine some conversations that other people in scriptures, had with God. Can you imagine these conversations happening? God saying to Mary, "Hey, Mary, I want you to be the mother to my son, to the Son of God. Mary, I want you to do that." And I can imagine Mary, thinking like, "What are you talking about?" I can imagine God speaking to Peter and having a conversation. Remember, this is just conjecture and just imagination. Peter, hey, I got an assignment for you. I want you to be history's first preacher. I want you to be the very first preacher of the church. I can imagine Peter in his mind thinking, no way, God, I'm not worthy. This is scary. I don't want to do this. How about to Matthew? Hey, Matthew, the first gospel of the Bible? It's all yours, man. You just take it. Just write it. Just do it. And then God turns to this man and he says, for you, yes, Lord, you're going to be blind for my glory. Excuse me, I'll be blind? Yes. For your glory? Yes. But I don't understand. And God says, you'll see. Blindness in this man's case is displaying the works of Christ. How can this be? Author Max Lucado was talking about a time that he was looking around his office and he noticed a metal frame that displayed a picture of his son. And then in a different corner of his desk, there was another metal a stand that displayed this antique pot where there was a fern, a flower, growing out of it. And then his brother had actually, in his office, given him a small stained glass window piece from a very old historical country church. And it was displayed in his office on two wires and two hooks. And so he noticed that there was this metal picture frame, and then there was this metal stand, and then there was these metal wires and hooks. And they're all different tools, but they are accomplishing the same job, and that job is to display treasures. They're all the same in terms of its content, metal, but their roles is also the same, and their role is to display the treasures that he had in his office. And so what these items did for valuable possessions is what this blind man is going to do for Christ. He was going to be the frame in which Jesus was going to be seen. He was going to be the frame in which Jesus was going to be seen. He was born sightless, without sight, blind, so that Jesus' glory could be displayed. How about for us? How about for our struggles? Is there any chance, any possibility that we have been selected, that you have been selected to display the glory of Christ? The most probably significant event in my life, in my family's life, is my father's accident, which led to his death. And it was very difficult because it was quite tragic. He fell and had brain trauma, was in a coma for 3 weeks, and was left paralyzed for 10 years before he died of kidney failure. And throughout that whole thing, the question that runs through our family and loved ones' mind the whole time is, God, why? Like, and it's hard not to ask that question. Like, what is the purpose of this suffering? what is this purpose? I mean, every, you know, I would look at him and see his pain and see his struggles, and we would suffer and we would struggle. And it's easy to ask, you know, why? And when you're going through it, it's hard to hear God speak to you that he will display my glory, that you will display my glory, that throughout this whole situation, my glory will be displayed. After just a series of events and it was evident that throughout the whole nursing home and throughout all the nurses and throughout just all the people, as they saw my mother and I come visit and talk, and as they saw our interaction with them, the nurses and the doctors, as they saw just the contrast between us and my dad, and as they saw sort of just some tender moments with my father, they were all, and then they knew I was a pastor and things like that, and we began to have spiritual conversations, and we began to talk about God, and we began to pray with, in fact, nurses and doctors, and we begin to pray for people through, and the Spirit of God and just his glory just begin to grow and grow, and during those moments you have no idea until you pull back and say, wow, God is doing something here, not only in the environment of that nursing home, but in our lives, in the extended family's lives. Once again, all of this is pointed in one direction so that God's glory may be revealed. So how about you? How about us? Could it be possible that you're going through what you're going through now because God has selected you for something important? God has selected you for something powerful, his glory. That the way you live your life, God's glory may be revealed. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it says this, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." The Message translation, Eugene Peterson translates that it's a gift that you receive from Christ, not only to believe him, but it's a gift to suffer for him. I don't think any of us ever think that, you know, hey, what do you want for your birthday this year? I want suffering. That's the, you know, what kind of gift do you want for your anniversary? Could you give me some suffering? I don't think any of us ever think in that way. But it's very clear as you look at the Gospels that suffering is a gift. Is it possible that in your struggles that you are able to point others to Christ? I want you to think about that as you're going through what you're going through. Is it possible that through your sufferings you're able to point others to Christ? That maybe watching your faith through a crisis might be the very thing that brings somebody to Christ. Seeing you and your faith in the midst of your crisis. See, because what's important to understand is that your crisis gives you a platform. It gives you a platform for a world who needs Christ. See, when you're going through incredible suffering and you have stories like that, you automatically have an in with people. You have a platform. You know, we look at people who are struggling with cancer and God heals them, and all of a sudden they can talk about anything and people will listen because of the cancer that they've overcome, and they can demonstrate Christ. Or maybe they've gone through a tragedy where they've lost everything, like Job, and all of a sudden they have a platform where they can proclaim Christ. Those of us who go through suffering and come out the other end through it have a platform where the world will listen to you. See, for those who haven't gone through any pain or gone through any suffering and you have no platform, but all of a sudden when you suffer and go through crisis, you have a platform for other people to listen. I want you to understand that what you have in your suffering is precious. It is a gift. It gives you a platform where you can proclaim Christ, and Christ is revealed and the glory of God is shown. It gives you a platform. Because all of a sudden it's like, hey, I've gone through this in my life, you know, this in my life, and this in my life, and this in my life. And you could say anything. You could say, you know, Tide detergent is the best. And people are like, yeah, I hear you. I hear you, I understand. Crest toothpaste is the only thing that will clean your teeth. Really? Is that how you made it through all of this suffering? wow, I listened to you, instead of doing something as silly and frivolous as that, because of the platform you have. May the words that come out of your mouth is Christ is the strength of my life, in whom I will not be shaken, that I've come through the other side. When other people look at you and say, this is an impossible situation, how is it that you're able to stand strong? And the words that come out of your mouth is Christ is the solid rock in which I stand. Your suffering gives you a platform. God is going to use whatever he wants to display his glory. He can use the heavens. He can use the stars. He can use the mountains. He can use history. He can use nations. But he wants to use people. He wants to use people. The season of suffering that we go through in this world, remember, our lives are very temporary. The Bible says it's going to be gone in a mist. The season of suffering is a very small assignment in the big picture of life compared to the reward of understanding the fellowship of his sufferings. As we talked about in Philippians a few weeks ago, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We've got to understand that the theme throughout Scripture is there is something glorious about the sufferings that we go through because Christ suffered and he was resurrected and he received glory. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering so that I can identify with the glory of Christ. This season of suffering that we go through is a very small assignment in the big picture compared to the glory that's about to be revealed, compared to the reward that is in store for you. And so my prayer for us is that may we use our struggles, our suffering, for the glory of God. Through your struggles and problems, maybe God can shine through and receive glory. I just want to close with this one last verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Once again, this constant theme of glory being revealed in us. Now, I would agree with you that if I had a choice, whether to be blind or whether to see, of course, I would rather have sight. And of course, we would like God to give us roles that are in life that are glamorous and successful and just and happy and things like that. But once again, our life in Christ, the end goal is not about happiness. The end goal points in one direction. It is to give God glory. And for this person who was born blind, it wasn't because of sin. It was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so what are you going through? What are the challenges in your life? Maybe you think it's suffering and pain just for suffering's sake. Maybe it's difficulty and struggle just for struggle's sake. Oh, no, that is not what you're going through. What you're going through is you are being a display for God's glory to be revealed. And so let's meditate on that this morning. No matter the intensity of your struggle, maybe it's a really intense time for you, or maybe it's no big deal. But let's reflect that whatever struggle you're going through, whatever challenge you're going through right now in life, oh, God has a plan, and his glory will be revealed. And so let's pray that way. And so would you just close your eyes and meditate on that? You may not like what you're going through. You may not understand it. You may never understand it until you get to heaven. Oh, but God has a plan. And his plan is to shine light through your circumstance. Because he says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Submit your struggles to the Lord this morning. Just lay it at his feet. And say, God, I want your glory to be revealed through this. I want people to see this circumstance, and I want them to see Christ. Maybe ask the Lord for strength. Maybe ask the Lord for vision. Maybe ask the Lord for grace. He may never fix the problem, but that's not the point. The point isn't fixing the problem. The point is, will God's glory be revealed? As you meditate on that, let's sing this together.
Me over. It's taken me over.
Just want to ask Janella to lead us in that song again. Obviously, for many of us, it's probably a new song, but before we go into prayer, let's try to sing this corporately again. As we gather and pray, may that be our prayer. God, I want to know your heart. As we intercede for our loved ones, God, may I know your heart. There are times where we don't know what to pray. There are times where we've been praying every single day. But God, may we know your heart. So as we intercede this morning, let's pray God's heart for these people that are on the screen. That God's glory would be revealed through that. So let's pray for those with going through cancer and going through sickness. And so the names are on the screen. So let's lift them up in prayer right now. Just a miracle in our lives. Let's continue to pray for others with sickness and cancer, but let's also pray for their salvation. Once again, let the glory of God be shown through their sickness and that they would receive Christ. So let's lift them up by name. Let's now begin to intercede for those with other sicknesses as the slides on the screen. Let's pray for them. We're going to lift up those who are looking for jobs and let's lift them up and ask God to open doors and let's ask that the glory of God will be revealed during this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus for Thursday. Let's lift up Japan and Kobe Church there, where our group went to minister this summer. Let's lift up Thailand for Rachel and the Obergs. And let's lift up North Korea for the church there, and also for Chris and his family, who many of you met at retreat. And obviously we have a North Korea trip. So God is really moving, and there's steps in in doing so. And so let's pray for those areas right now. Let's pray for these countries. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for our kids. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, our nursery, our youth group, and our men's and women's ministry. Let's pray for the leaders, and let's thank the Lord for answering prayers in regards to volunteers. But let's continue to ask the Lord to move through the kids. Let the kids be the ones that turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And so let's lift up our kids right now. Let's ask the Lord to protect them. Jesus, for our kids, Lord. Let's pray for our Lauren Cunningham weekend, which starts tomorrow. And as I shared on Sunday, this weekend is going to be incredible, especially Saturday at 2 o'clock. And it's not just for those who are in finance; it's for education, entertainers. It's for being an influence in seven areas of life. And so it's not just a finance, business, marketplace. It's for everybody. And your eyes are going to be open. So let's ask the Lord for His hand to be upon this weekend, that people's eyes would be open to the things that they can do, their destinies. I believe God is going to call forth people's destinies and give them a clear picture of their purpose in life and their roles and their journey that they're on. This weekend is going to be powerful. It's going to be great. So let's pray for this weekend. And let's pray for our house church's meeting today for Conduit Island, Mac Robinson, and Elements. Let's ask the Lord to use those groups and ask the Lord for His grace and His Spirit to be upon them. And let's ask for the discussions to be pointed towards the glory of God. And so let's lift up our house churches that are meeting today. Father, we come before you today, and of course, we can give you glory in our victories, but God, can your glory be shown through our sufferings, God? And Lord, we just want to submit that to you, God. We pray that as we go and live today, God, we pray that through our lives, your glory would be revealed, Father. And Lord, we lift up all of these requests and petitions, but more than anything, God, we want to honor you, and we want to worship you, and we want to bless your name. God, so be with us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.